Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. You always call me a turkey. I'm acting like one today. Gobble, gobble.
When's the last time you actually touched a turkey in the kitchen?
About 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. So you're actually cooking your turkey a day ahead of time.
Right. We do that, and we carve it up and then put it in containers and then save some of the juice, and then tomorrow warm it up, and it tastes as good as new. And we don't have to deal with a turkey carcass on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. All right. Well, that's wonderful.
Actually, my sister-in-law started this tradition in her home, and we kind of picked it up because it does make things a lot easier.
Okay. So tomorrow, but you still have other cooking tomorrow. You
cook. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with mashed potatoes and all the side dishes, all that stuff.
So tomorrow you're having leftovers. That's a new trick.
No, we're not having leftovers. It's fresh. No one will put a bit of that bird in their mouth until tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, really? You don't even nibble while you work?
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
just a bite here and there.
I think if there's carving, there's nibbling. All right. Well, we are going to start our show with an interview. Professor Alexander Riley, who's also going to be calling our Sunrise show on Monday morning, is going to talk to us today. Now, read your good clipping there, because yeah, this is what this is about.
This is from the Indianapolis Star, USA Today Network. It said, the words, fire Eric Rasmussen were painted on an Indiana University bridge, but experts say the controversial professor's job is likely safe. He is a tenured professor of business economics and public policy at the IU Kelley School of Business. He came under fire recently for social media posts denigrating women, people of color, and gay men. IU officials say they've been flooded with demands from Rasmussen's dismissal after one of his tweets suggesting men were more intelligent than women and questioning the role of women in academia, then those posts went viral. Rasmussen defended his views in a lengthy rebuttal posted on his personal website and said that if the university did try to fire him, they'd lose it in court. Provost Lauren Roble said in a letter posted on the IU website that Rasmussen would not be fired for his posts as a private citizen, as vile and stupid as they are, because the First Amendment of the United States Constitution forbids us to do so, making it sound like they'd happily do it if the Constitution didn't forbid it.
If it allowed it.
That's exactly right, said Will Creeley, the senior vice president of legal and public policy at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. FIRE is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that defends the rights of students and faculty members at America's colleges and universities. Creeley said the faculty outrage cases are fairly common on college campuses, but that there is clear legal precedent protecting the free speech rights of government employees, including professors at public universities. So as much as the left might like to throw him out for his views, which are pretty extreme, they can't do it. Should they be allowed to?
And to that end, we have Professor Alexander Riley of Bucknell University on the line. He's a sociology professor. We've been talking to him about this series of discussions that they have been having on campus. The Bucknell Program for American Leadership and Citizen presents Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts, Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts, or Politics and the Liberal Arts. Professor Riley, what surprises you about what's happening to Professor Rasmussen?
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning.
What surprises me? Unfortunately, not a lot of the case surprises me. I think this is indicative of a trend in higher education these days. But more and more, we've seen evidence of an effort by some folks on campuses around the country to shrink the realm of what is seen as legitimate discussion, what's seen as a responsible, morally upstanding, correct, permissible speech on a campus. I think the thing that when you think hard about this case, for example, and I've looked through just about all the news items I could find on it, the thing that stood out to the most egregiously to me is just the fact that Professor Rasmussen's provost, makes all sorts of statements about what Professor Rasmussen did or didn't say or doesn't believe or has or hasn't advocated. She never quotes him once in the statement that she makes about what his purportedly what his statements are about. She just insinuates and she throws around these terms that I think are increasingly thrown around in universities these days to impugn people. She calls him a racist, or she at least says his tweets and what he said are racist, and they're sexist, and they're homophobic, and they're vile, and they're terrible, or number of other similar kinds of adjectives. And she doesn't ever feel compelled to actually talk in any detail about what he's actually said. And I think that's telling. This is a kind of phenomenon that this is the way we see the phenomenon working itself out a lot these days on college campuses. Just accuse people basically of moral crimes, of saying things that are beyond the pale. And you never even have to get into the details of what did he actually say? What is so controversial in what he pointed to or what he said?
Well, putting aside what he said and whether or not it's controversial, isn't that part of what education's about, to put out ideas and thoughts that may challenge people, challenge their beliefs, make them critically think about the issues of the day?
Well, that certainly was a view of the university, probably the dominant view of the university at some point in the past. There's a real question these days as to whether it is still the dominant view of what a university is for. When you have the emergence of a particular set of ideologies that, rather than understanding universities as you just described them, as a place where students are asked to go and, in fact, to feel uncomfortable, at least occasionally, because they're presented with ideas that might rub up against things that they already believe. They're asked to stretch a little bit in order to intellectually and otherwise in order to wrap their heads around things that might be difficult, but again that might make them feel uncomfortable. There now is an ideology that's on the rise that says that's not at all what universities are about. We're supposed to make sure that students never feel uncomfortable, that they're always in a space where their ideas and their beliefs, especially their ideas and beliefs about certain kinds of really taboo subjects, are not to be challenged. I mean, you can look, for example, at the tweet there are a number of them, but the one that seems to have most provoked Professor Rasmussen's dean was the one where he, so far as I can understand it, he retweeted an article that was posted in some other journal, and he quoted it, and that article was basically just alluding to the fact that in the human sciences, there's some evidence to indicate that men and women as populations don't have exactly the same personality characteristics, the same personality profile. That is, if you take the whole population of men and the whole population of women, and you draw up a representative graph of where every man and every woman is on the range of some set of personality characteristics, the two graphs don't look exactly the same. That's a completely uncontroversial thing to note, because there's a huge amount of science that demonstrates that's true. Men and women are different in some ways. Recognizing that empirically is not the same thing as saying anything morally about what that difference means. So it doesn't say that men are better than women, doesn't say that women are better than men, doesn't say anything along those lines. It's just saying, look, there's evidence that indicates that they're not the same. And now let's get into that and let's look and see what other evidence we can see to support that or to counter that idea, and let's explore this idea. That's basically what Rasmussen is doing in the tweet, so far as I can tell, is that he's just asking students or whoever's reading the Twitter account, let's look at this. Here's some evidence that indicates something that some of you at least probably might find controversial or interesting or new or difficult to believe, and let's examine this, even if it makes us uncomfortable. That's beyond the pale for his dean. And again, I think there's increasing evidence that there are more and more and more people in positions of power in universities around the country who think exactly like Professor Rasmussen's provost does about these things.
But Bucknell, not immune to this. The same thing happens on your campus. You brought in some speakers, or other programs or other symposia on campus have brought in speakers. You get pushback. You see students who say, boycott it, don't go. You've had a number of speakers so far talking about political diversity. And you know some other what has to be labeled controversial topics for this discussion now, but the same thing happens on your campus, and it's happening nationwide.
It's happening all over the place. You're absolutely right. It's the case that we had here that you're referring to just last week, when we had a speaker come in and a whole bunch of people on campus faculty, students, even some people in administrative positions, were insinuating all kinds of things about what she purportedly writes and says and believes, and almost always in exactly the same way that Eric Rasmussen's provost was describing what Eric Rasmussen purportedly has said. Never quotes, never any kind of contextual attempt to understand and to demonstrate that you've actually made a good faith effort to understand what the thinker at issue has actually written. And even when you do get quotes, you got this phenomenon of what I call scare quoteism, where the people who don't like the particular speaker will pull one quote out of context. Often they'll in fact remake the quote, so they just cut out the parts that they don't like, and maybe they put in ellipses to note that they've made an omission, and maybe they don't. And then you present that as indicative of the entirety of what the person is about. And the goal, of course, is not to enlighten anybody. It's not to actually encourage people. Let me try to figure out what Heather McDonald, who is the writer that we're talking about in this case, let me try and figure out what she's actually said, and let me see what I think about that. Maybe I agree, maybe I disagree. The first step, though, to finding out whether I agree or disagree is to actually know what she said. There was so much disinformation. You know, people, I spent a lot of time just trying to correct some of the errors that were made, for example, in our student newspaper about what Heather McDonald believes. People, columnists, student writers over there were saying things that just were either egregiously untrue or that, again, were based on this scare quoteism. And as an educator, I felt like part of my responsibility, part of my job, and again, as one of the organizers of her speech, I felt motivated to make this case as well. I just felt like it was part of my duty to say, listen, you guys aren't even really doing what you're supposed to do in order to try to evaluate what this person is about. You have to make a good faith effort to do this. And I think students get their cues from elsewhere. And so it's the students who are doing this kind of thing, they've seen faculty do this, and they've heard other people on campuses tell them that this is a legitimate way to go about doing things. And I think it is a very distressing movement and moment in higher education that we're seeing more and more and more of this.
But Dr. Riley, when somebody like her comes on campus, and maybe her ideas have been a little different than the ones you might normally expect to find at a university, where did it ever start that people don't want to hear those ideas, that they don't want to listen to an opposing point of view, that automatically some thoughts need to be purged from all of us? We can't even consider them. Where's this coming from?
Well, I think this is actually one of the things that you can see in Heather McDonald's newest book. She takes that set of questions that you just asked directly on, and that's one of the reasons why I think some of the people who don't like her very much don't like her, because she's asking questions that are intended to get at what you just asked. Where did this start? What are the origins of this movement and of this change, sea change in universities? A short answer to it is just to say that, along the lines of what I said previously, the for some folks in universities, the very meaning of a university has changed, and they've changed it. They're endeavoring to change it. The meaning used to be that everyone in a university was engaged in the process of collectively, mutually, civilly trying to engage in the pursuit of the truth. We're trying to find out what the case is, whether that be about any differences that there are or aren't in the populations of men and women, or whether that's about what the proper role of government should be in some particular field, or whatever the question is. The goal in the old university, the goal was, let's all collectively get together and try and figure out what's actually the case, what's the truth. And that requires us to be open to a really wide range of possible answers to those questions, because if you just go in advance and you shut down particular avenues of inquiry, you're probably going to make it harder to answer the questions that you want to answer. So you have to have a really wide purview of discussion, and you have to be civil and humble in your approach to this. You have to understand that as an individual, I have limited knowledge. I may be wrong. I may be wrong about really important things. And so I depend on other people that I'm engaged in this process with to help correct me. And they depend on me to help correct them. And so we have to be civil. We have to recognize this is a common project. That's under challenge now. There are people now who look at universities as basically places where the job is to try to coddle people, especially people who are seen as members of particular kinds of historically disadvantaged groups. You're recognizing them fundamentally as members of those groups, and you're trying to protect them from ideas that are now determined not as efforts to try to find the truth, but instead those ideas are defined as literally as acts of violence.
But
so
if we accept
say particular things, yeah, if you say particular things, yeah, there, it's understood in this new vision of the universe that those things that you say and those ideas that you have can actually harm people. They can cause people irreparable damage. And so you have to stop those things from being said. You have to stop those ideas from being presented.
It seems to me like that's
a very different view.
That seems to me like that would have a chilling effect on education. If we start with the premise,
sure does.
If you start with the premise that certain things are so off the table they can't even be discussed, you can't do research, you can't explore other ideas, you can't even have a conversation, because if the minute you bring these things up, you're a racist, a misogynist, a xenophobe, and a bunch of other phobes.
Well, that's exactly right. Look at the reaction to the situation with Eric Rasmussen. A bunch of other institutions and other places around the country have picked that up. In fact, I saw some faculty members here at Bucknell doing exactly that as well. They referred to the provost's statements about Professor Rasmussen as an example, and they said, "Look, this is how it ought to be done. This is how we ought to deal with folks who are engaging in speech that we've now defined as violent, and we've defined as vile and as horrific and racist and sexist and so forth." And I think, again, the really key point of it for me as an intellectual is that here you have a professor, the provost herself is also a professor and an administrator, who's making an administrative decision with real consequences for Professor Rasmussen. Again, as you guys noted, apparently it looks like Indiana University won't be able to fire him, but they have taken some action against him. They've now made it such that he's none of his courses are to be required courses, so the insinuation was made that students would feel uncomfortable or would be damaged by being in Professor Rasmussen's classes, even though there's no evidence that any students really, over the 25 years that he's taught there, have ever expressed those ideas. They've produced this notion that he has to have his grades submitted via to a blind grading process, because the insinuation is that he'll be prejudiced against women or against minorities, when, again, there's zero evidence and anything that he's said and done to make that a believable insinuation. And there are folks who are looking at that and saying, this is a model for how to do this. You don't have to refer to anything that he's actually said. You don't have to get down in the weeds and actually challenge the substance of any of the things that he said. You just accuse him of various hate crimes, essentially, and then you wash your hands of him and you're done.
Sure, he's get blackballed. Well, thank you so much, Professor, for checking in. We'll talk to you again Monday morning about the upcoming remarks on Thursday, December 5th. Jason Manning, an associate professor of sociology from West Virginia University. My schedule shows him as talking about campus conflict and moral culture. Is that the correct subtitle of his remarks?
That's exactly right.
Okay, perfect.
He's written a book that looks at this topic in a really broad cultural perspective. So a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now, specifically with respect to university campuses, he looks at it as an aspect of historical cultural change in the whole United States.
All right, we'll talk about that in greater detail Monday morning when you're on Sunrise. You've been previewing
great.
A lot of these great speakers on Sunrise, so we appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having the courage to bring them in. Force people to confront
it. Well, thank you guys for having the courage to put me on the air. I mean, it may be a trend. If this trend continues, it may be more and more difficult going forward even just to have these conversations. So,
all right, to be continued.
You guys are to be commended for making space for them.
Well, let's hope and pray that never happens. Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, thank you. Professor Alexander Riley, professor of sociology at Bucknell University, on the latest dust up on a college campus. We'll take your remarks, opinion, and reaction to what you've heard. What are they, snowflake millennials can't take opposing views, or everybody flips out.
They need a safe space, trigger warnings, and a bunch of other stuff.
And no more microaggressions. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us a new one at 70236. That's our method of telling folks when they there is an emergency or a dilemma or a breaking national or local news story. You can sign up at WKOK.com, and then it's two-way communication. You can communicate with the newsroom just by replying to messages. So I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Cotrillo sent out a Text Connect today to say when the detours are rescinded in Northumberland. We talked to some of the new enterprise workers yesterday, and they say they're doing their final punch list now. And they hope to have the road open by noon today. So that would be great if that happens.
There will be rejoicing in Northumberland.
Well, there'll be a Text Connect, but they're going to repave it all next year. So this isn't final paving they've done. It's just rough paving.
Right. I know, but that's... Things are largely done.
So. Well, I live up on Orange Street, and we've had Route 147 North and South coming from Sunbury and Route 11 North going by our house. So we've had heavy traffic, 24/7, trucks and cars and buses, and it's just a continuous line of traffic.
I was ran into Mayor Burrard last week, Northumberland's mayor, and we were talking about an incident where the funding for the Susquehanna Valley Thruway was announced, and Linda Culver was speaking at the time. The mayor was Len Zabore, and Linda looked at him and said, "Mayor Zabore, you're going to get your town back." And I said to Mayor Burrard, and then, of course, PennDOT proposed this project.
Oopsie, lost.
But
the
now
time,
you are getting your town back, so Mayor Burrard gets it back today.
Mm-hmm. So folks can stop speeding through the alleys, blocked alleys.
Bad behavior hopefully will end.
Oh, yes. Well, and
until the paving starts next year.
Well, and we can get back to the normal delays, you know, just stacking up cars on Duke Street.
Well,
and
but the
Front
thing, I think what will be exciting is to see if all the improvements that PennDOT made really do ease the situation. And I certainly think what they did at the intersection, you know, coming off the bridge from Shamokin Dam in that area was well worth doing, that intersection. What is it, Duke and Front?
Right. Well, I think that has worked because trucks can get in line to go left on Duke Street, you know, a block earlier. So that's crazy early for a left-turn lane to start. It's right off the bridge.
But there were always a pile of trucks in that lane, and the turning lane was never big enough to stack anything, really.
Mm-hmm. So that would help.
And they all pulled into the right-hand lane because they needed to make a tight curve. So there are many times I would get stuck behind a truck that was making a left-hand turn on a Duke Street when I wanted to go straight. And, of course, the light was saying you can go straight, but the truck's over in my lane, so couldn't.
Mm-hmm. So you had to wait.
But that's no longer an issue.
Yeah, so it should be rare that you have folks stacked up on the Barry King Bridge, White Bridge.
Moving on to Dr. Riley and his conversation with us.
Yeah, campus pushback. Well, it's too bad that some of these remarks that the students are supposedly pushing back against may not have occurred or might not be as caustic or taken out of context.
But what if they are? Is there a line at which something you've said, something you believe, should automatically preclude you from ever being allowed to speak in a public place? I don't believe there is. I mean, it's reprehensible.
So if Hitler were alive today on the speaker's
tour. And he were touring the campuses of the country, and people were saying, you know, this is terrible, he shouldn't be allowed to do that, I would disagree with them. But I would say to them, if you don't like what you think this man might say, don't go. But if you want to hear how wrong he is, how morally bankrupt this man is, in your opinion, go hear what he has to say and then draw your own conclusions.
Well, maybe you'd learn something about what led him to be the way he was. And all the other thing you can do is you can demonstrate there silently, you know, stand outside with a sign that says this is a perpetrator of genocide who is evil personified.
But when did we get to the point in this country that we want to persecute ideas, even if they're hateful ideas? Even if, don't we just ignore? Can't we just ignore things? I agree that you need to speak out against evil. I'm not saying you don't.
Okay.
But there's a difference between advocating evil and practicing evil and discussing evil.
What if Mr. Rasmussen had said women aren't as smart as men and they shouldn't be professors?
Then I would say justify that. I would want to go hear how a man would justify that, something that I don't believe personally is true.
He goes into his bag of tricks and he says, okay, here's evidence of professors that haven't been, that are women who haven't been able to do as much research. They're not as smart as men. They shouldn't be allowed.
Well, then I have to form an opinion as whether or not he made a convincing case.
Okay.
If he didn't, I ignore him. If he did, then maybe I've got to rethink my position.
But you want that evidence. You want to, and you want to do counter-research.
I want to hear what he has to say. I don't want to just write him off as a misogynist and a, you know, some sort of a criminal.
Okay. All right. To be continued. We have an open phones hour ahead. We can talk about this, plus impeachment, plus Joe has a wonderful clipping in front of him with the Harrisburg Dateline. We'll talk about that shortly. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Setters, our fabulous, 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 wonderful producer. He gets to enjoy a day off tomorrow and Friday. WKOK will be a best of tomorrow, but Rob will be back in next Tuesday. He's got Monday off. I got Monday off. Monday's show, you are going to have Peggy Chamberlain Roop is going to be here, and Joe McGranahan will be in the catbird seat. And then on Tuesday, Steve Kushiloff will come in as our...
on Wednesday as well, right?
Yeah, right. Tuesday and Wednesday.
And you're going to come back from your great hunting expedition on Thursday.
Right. Well rested and ready to get back to work.
And empty-handed as usual.
Well, deer slaying is... The purpose of deer camp isn't deer slaying. It's fun.
It's drinking beer, playing poker.
Keep going.
Well, I think that I'd stop there.
Those are the biggies.
Are they? Okay.
No. But it's the brotherhood. It's the fact of being with
good people. And you get to stand outside and watch the Salt Lake and see if any deer do happen to come by. Oh, wait a second. That's not permitted, is it?
It's the brotherhood. Oh, yeah. You can do that. You just can't shoot them when they're out of Salt Lake. You can have 100 Salt Lakes. You just can't be anywhere near them with a gun.
So what your job is when the deer gets to the Salt Lake, you run out and yell boo and the other hunters shoot it as it's running away?
No. Nope, we go up in a tree at 5 o'clock and we wait for the sunrise. So that's our fun. So, but there's young men and women.
That sound like a great time to me.
Young men and women will be enjoying the hunt.
So all right.
We'll have a blast.
Better you than me, buddy.
The goal
I'm
going to
be inside in the warmth and enjoying a hot cup of coffee and a bagel.
Okay. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We've been talking about campus opportunities for people with divergent viewpoints to speak, the things that sometimes young people or professors or administrators don't want to hear on the college campus, that maybe women aren't as smart as men when it comes to being a professor, or that other races aren't as good as the white race. Well, you know, that's what some people actually believe. So do you wish to not ever hear those viewpoints? And, of course, as Professor Riley pointed out, those aren't actually the viewpoints of the people that are being criticized after all anyway. So we talked about that, and we can keep talking about that. We have one element related to the impeachment to discuss, and we have a big change coming in Harrisburg. So call us now, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. I do have some brief news headlines here. The mother of 3-year-old Arabella Parker and her boyfriend now facing murder charges after the child died last week. Northumberland County DA Tony Matulevich says that 19-year-old Jared Burgess and 23-year-old Samantha Delcamp will be charged with an open count of homicide, or are charged with an open count of homicide, for their role in the death of the 3-year-old girl. The DA last told us if Parker were to die, they'd upgrade bring the charges to homicide, and they did so yesterday at a magistrate's office. Pennsylvania overhauled its child abuse laws Tuesday, more than a year after a landmark grand jury report showed the cover-up of hundreds of abuse cases in most of Pennsylvania's Roman Catholic diocese over seven decades. The central bill signed by Governor Tom Wolf gives future victims of child sex abuse more time to file lawsuit and ends time limits for police to file criminal charges. The grand jury report spurred many states to change their laws and others to begin similar investigations. Wolf said the new laws will help repair faults in our justice system that prevented frightened, abused children from seeking justice. We'll have some more to say about this as our show progresses today. Joe should be happy to know that a Pennsylvania school district has thumbed their nose to snowflakes, and they can continue to have their sports teams with the name Redskins, but... You ready for this?
I know
it's
the
a big
caveat.
But.
Yes, it's a big but, all
they
right.
They must now educate students about Native Americans to prevent stereotypes. The State Human Relations Commission Monday issued its decision in a long-running dispute with the Neshaminy School District. The panel also said the district must remove any logos that negatively depict Native Americans. The high school baseball team hats feature a tomahawk. The basketball team's logo is a profile of a Native American warrior. And the football team is known as the Skins. The dispute dates back to 2013 when a panel received a complaint which resulted in the commission filing its own charge accusing Neshaminy of violating a state human relations law. The district's lawyer is reviewing the ruling. The district administration has said in the past that under no circumstances will anything change as it relates to their Redskins.
So what's
name.
A human relations law? Say you can't make fun of a Native American, or you can't parody a Native American?
Well, why don't we...
There's more thought police. Let's get everybody out here. Let's stop these ideas.
Why don't we put that question to our good guest who did not call in for this purpose and may not even known about it, but we'll ask her view on this. What's your view? The Human Relations Commission and the district seem to have come up with a compromise. Cindy?
Not a compromise. It's an edict.
Well, with the idea that Redskins can continue at Neshaminy, but they have to depict Native Americans in a positive light.
I think that's good, and I think our students should know about Native Americans. They were an important part of our history, not only in the Commonwealth, but in the nation.
What about the disrespectful name, Redskins?
Well, I've already come out saying that I think they should change their names. All these teams should step away from that if it offends Native American people.
All right.
I don't think they should be. We've talked about that before. But what I called about was two things. Number one, many thanks from me to all of our military, both those at home and abroad, and to their families. And two, many thanks to all the local emergency service folks who could easily be called out on Thanksgiving Day and during the holidays, and they are selflessly serving their community. My thanks to them. But the reason I called was your prior guest, who... You know, what came to mind was that this is intellectual Puritanism. You know, the Puritans had a very scripted way that they insisted that people behaved. They found themselves in conflict with that in England, and so they moved to the United States of America, and they actually kicked people out of their colony were they to fail to follow those very strict rules. And it seems to me that this is what they're describing in terms of this professor, is a kind of intellectual Puritanism. This community is ostracizing this person for daring to have any thoughts or outside of what they've decided are acceptable.
Well, I think that's probably... A description, in as much as the students are criticized for not wanting this kind of conversation, and then, of course, criticized for not having a fully informed opinion, I would suspect we're probably not actually getting a full description of what the students' pushback or the provost's pushback is either. So, you know, you almost have to be right in the middle of it to be able to read all of the things about Professor Rasmussen. But we've had the same thing at Bucknell University. The students and the Bucknellian, that blog, the news, or I guess it's a blog primarily, but they do have a daily newspaper that's part of it. But they push back against these speakers and say they're not appropriate on campus.
Well, I find this fascinating because Thomas Paine, for example, a great patriot in American history, wrote a famous pamphlet called Common Sense. I'm sure that his thoughts about the rights of people to be free, the rights to people to have the government that they choose to have, weren't welcomed by the British in England and those who were loyal to the crown here in America. So where would we be had those groups of people been successful in suppressing people like Thomas Paine? Patrick Henry argued for religious freedom in this country. And where would we be if the religious sects that opposed him were successful in shutting up Patrick Henry? Well, you wouldn't see that phrase, freedom of religion, in the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment. I mean, there's just time and again where people have challenged conventional thinking or current norms, and they have not been wrong. And the history, the lens of time, proves them out. We make a mistake when we refuse to allow people to be free in their speech. Whether I like what they have to say. Frequently, Joe and you, Mark, say things I disagree with. My head nearly shakes off some days here in the kitchen. But I would never stop you from saying them. And sometimes they make me think. They make me look at what I believe and ask myself where that can be justified against what you've said. And if we don't have those kinds of conversations, we'll never grow.
Right.
It'll
right.
become stagnant in a police
where?
State of thought. I find it absurd to, you know, now it's one story to be burning crosses on people's lawns, don't get me wrong, or spray painting across people's property. Those kinds of behaviors are unacceptable. But freedom of speech means freedom of the speech of everyone, even though the people, I don't really care for what they're saying. You know, if I had my way, we could take football off the television. But don't you think a lot of people would oppose that?
I would.
Well,
sure, because, you know, but I think it's, you know, it's turned into a colossal waste of time, and it's become brutal, and the behavior of these professional people's irresponsible. I'm entitled to those thoughts.
Okay,
right?
Hang up on her. She's got opinions I don't like.
Okay, I'm over my time.
No, you're not. I'm only kidding.
No.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think when we get to the point that we just automatically assume that what we don't want to hear shouldn't be heard by anyone, we've created a totalitarianism that's very
yes.
dangerous.
Yes. And, you know, the next speech, here's the bulletin that these folks who do this really ought to give thought to. The next speech that will be edited / censored will be yours. That's why you have to stand up for the freedom of everyone's speech.
Well, and I think the professor didn't really allude to it today, but we've spoken to him a half a dozen times on the Newsline during the sunrise. He alludes to the fact that one of the reasons he hates this pushback when it happens at Bucknell is he knows that just as whimsically as these individuals are being complained about, he could be the next complaint. You know,
right.
his place and his thinking and his symposia and the things that he hopes to do. You know, he's talked about the fact that, you know, if not this topic, what then? You know, where's the line? So there are some places.
Well, I think it was Justice Brandeis. I could be wrong. Joe will be quick to correct me. Who once said, "Well, I oppose what you say. I stand up for your right to say it." That's paraphrasing it. You know,
I think that was Voltaire.
Okay, fair enough. That's what I mean. You know, I don't have to agree with you to agree with your right to say in a civil fashion what you have to say. And sometimes I'll listen and sometimes I may not. But if we don't share ideas, we become a closed society like the Puritans. And there will be no growth in this country.
And Mrs.
The only improvements that came in this country were because people had the courage to go against the norm, not because they walked with the norm.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you, and a happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Well, thank you, and there used to be places where free speech was welcomed, Mrs. O's house and college campuses, so now we're down to just your house. So.
Oh, well.
Thank you. We really do appreciate
you.
It. Yep, thank you.
Bye. Yeah,
Mrs. O, Cindy O'Hara. Mrs. O's house is the name of, it is a website and a blog and just a go-to place for, I'm going to say primarily homeschoolers, but many, many parents also. make good use of the information available. We are at first break time, so we invite more comers. We have talked about campus speech being squelched by snowflake students who say that they only wish to hear a certain kind of remark in front of them. No microaggressions, please. No opposing viewpoints. And students have pushed back tremendously on other campuses and at Bucknell University. They didn't want Mrs. Heather McCarthy, I think her name was.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Okay, well, in any event, the last speaker who was just here last week to come to campus because they thought her views ran.
Some people didn't want Ben Shapiro to come to SU.
Right. So we'll take last-minute callers on that topic or texters or emailers. So participate in that, or you can send us something else, or maybe you have another topic to discuss. It's an Open Phones Wednesday. It has the de facto effect of Open Phones Friday because we're wrapping up this week on tomorrow and Friday. Both will be best of shows. So then Joe will be back on Monday. 1-800-795-9565. We've got an Open Phones Friday underway. You can call us, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. We got a text yesterday. We were talking about the State Game Commission is going to allow some Sunday hunting next week, if and only if it is approved by the State Senate, which it has not yet been for some strange reason. You'll be shocked to hear that the State Senate won't take action on this bill in a timely fashion. But when it is passed, and if it's signed by the governor, the Game Commission would be at liberty to have 3 Sundays next year when you could hunt. One would be during the rifle deer season. That's only a 2-week window, so I guess where that Sunday is going to go, maybe like right in between. And one would be during the spring gobbler season.
That, gobble, gobble.
Takes place. Joe loves turkey. And the other one would be a floating. It could be someplace else, you know, maybe during a small game season or something like that.
Well, our texter says, funny you mentioned that only certain people can vote. That is how it is with the Game Commission. If you were a licensed hunter, you got the vote registration. If you don't hunt, you don't get a vote. No Sunday hunting ever, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, people don't get to vote on this, but your legislator did. Sunday hunting needed permission from the state legislature, and the House and Senate have approved it with this.
Or, I'm sorry, the House.
I'm sorry. The House has approved it with this caveat that it only be 3 Sundays. But this is like everything else they do in Harrisburg. They start out small so that they can break it in.
Once the camel gets his nose in the tent.
I like that. Okay. Yeah, so the camel will get his nose in the tent, and then more Sundays will become open, and more land will be posted, more people won't be allowed to hunt on land, and that'll be the net effect of that.
That'll be a law requiring you to open up your land for Sunday hunting.
What else did Harrisburg nibble away at just by starting small? What, reducing the control?
Sales tax.
Right, sales tax, liquor laws, so now you can buy booze anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Gambling. Right, now you can gamble anywhere.
Started out with the lottery, now we've got casinos.
Right, so, but this will be the same thing. Some people like Sunday hunting. I'm not one of the people that does. I think Sunday should stay hunting free in Pennsylvania.
Should we bring back the blue laws? Can't buy a newspaper, can't buy anything.
I don't know about that, but it wouldn't bother me if we did that. That would be fine with me. I think Sunday should be completely a day of rest for everybody. It should be Christmas Day all over again.
Wow. You're taking away a lot of people's rights to go shopping and do things that they don't have time to do during the regular work week.
No. I'm not taking away anyone's rights.
Yes, you are. You're taking away rights.
You asked me
You are a usurper, sir.
You ask me what I like. I like Sundays off with businesses closed and things happening. I'm not imposing on it. I'm not a decider. Everybody, please go do whatever. Why you can't buy a car on Sunday, it is totally beyond me. It makes no sense. I know a lot of car dealers would just love to be open on Sunday. Think of all the deals they could do in the afternoon after church when people are ready for a new vehicle for their good family. Dan, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Before I start my topic, I wish you all a happy and blessed Thanksgiving, you, Joe, and all the people who work on the radio and all friends that listen to me spiel off all the time.
He didn't say anything about you, Mark. He said
he
me.
Did. He said you. I answered
the
phone,
you,
so
Joe.
He said you.
You too, Mark.
Thank you.
What I'm talking about is Dr. Jerry Bergman. He was a professor, almost tenured, at Bowling Green University. And he has two earned doctorate degrees and four master's degrees, plus whatever else. And in his class one day, he brought up the subject, you know, there's a question on evolution may not be correct. The evidence, he said to his students, starting to we yield toward intelligent design. Guess what? He lost his professorship. He lost his job at Bowling Green just for questioning the theory of evolution. So he lost his job, and he teaches at a community college, Northeastern University in Ohio. And he wrote several books on the slaying of the dissidents. And his main subject he likes to talk about is no freedom of thought, far as science.
How
in
ironic!
The universities.
And
you
what?
can go online and get his books. He's at Northeastern University in Ohio, Dr. Jerry Bergman, and you may be shocked what you could learn from a professor of science in genetics. He does cancer research out there. He's trying to find different cures from cancer through genetics, and he never realized the discrimination in freedom of thought at universities till he questioned. He didn't say intelligent design was truth. He just questioned the theory of evolution due to the recent science we discovered on genetics and the programming in our body that you know, through the genes, that sure looks like we were designed. Everything in the genes says design. We're programmed more complicated than a computer in our genes. So that was how he lost tenure. And what he recommends to people that believe in intelligent design, or people call it creation, or whatever you want to call it, whoever believes in an intelligent designer, he says, keep your mouth shut till you get tenure.
Would you be upset, Dan, if somebody came on and lost their job for teaching Darwinism?
What's that?
Would you be upset if someone was fired because they taught Darwinism?
Right.
Would you be upset by that, Dan?
Freedom of thought, either way. You have the right, yeah, they have the right to teach Darwinism, but also they have the right to question it.
Sure.
Is that really truth? Or the more time goes on, there's so many new discoveries that in genes that show that we are not a product of chance at all. We're a product of of an intelligent designer. You can say intelligent designer. I didn't even mention...
Right, but that's not the issue. We're not here to debate that. We're talking about academic freedom and the ability to challenge an idea on campus. I'm just asking if you would be equally as upset if somebody lost their job for teaching Darwinism. If you are, then you are in favor of free speech. If not, you're as bad as the people on the other side of the argument who want to ban ideas they don't want to hear.
Okay, then I'm evil.
No, only if you want to ban it.
I'll tell you what, Joe. There is no freedom in your public school. Just suppose what I'm saying is the truth, and we wasted all this time teaching a theory that's outdated, and we wouldn't allow a foot in the door of the creation.
Well, I have no problem with allowing intelligent design to be thought about and discussed in colleges, and it certainly is a valid point of view, and you can make an argument if you believe in a divine being that is quite possibly the way things came about. But there are other people who are going to look at Darwin and his theory and say, from a scientific standpoint,
wow,
this sounds reasonable to me.
That makes sense.
But we need to have the ability to have the interchange of ideas. In other words, if you say, well, I believe in intelligent design and everybody else is wrong and everybody else shouldn't discuss it, then that's what we're fighting against in this country.
I think you can have the discussion, but what I'm saying, the discrimination is against the intelligent design people.
Right. Well, that's wrong,
that's
too.
That's a discrimination. Before 1925... you were allowed to say that humans were designed, and animals, they said, might have been evolved, but the ACLU fought down in Tennessee to kick that out of the school, public school system. They said, we have equal rights. We need to say our speech on evolution. Well, once they got their foot in the door, till today, you can't mention creation in the school in a science program.
All right.
Because it's considered bogus. And yet, all the evidence, if you study genetics and the complications.
But that's not the debate about who's right or who's wrong. The discussion is, can we have a conversation about it? Can we academically put both ideas on the table and let people draw their own conclusions?
That's right, Joe, if it was allowed, but it's not allowed to have the discussion. The professor was denied his tenure only because...
But he's got another job now. He's got a job now at another college, right?
Yeah, a community college.
Oh, okay.
where philosophy isn't important. They don't care what you're teaching to do a job. Philosophy of life isn't important at a community college.
It isn't.
So he's teaching beneath his ability, but only because he brought up, hey, there's a question on this theory of evolution. It's questionable. He didn't say he didn't teach creation. He didn't teach intelligent design. He only brought up, this is very... it could be a question.
All right.
About
it.
And you can Google. I'd suggest you, if you're serious and think, you know, there's no other side, and my side might be right, Google Jerry Berkman at Northeastern University. He wrote several books.
Hey, Dan, we got another caller. We got to move along.
Okay, you guys have a great week.
Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, sir. Have a good one.
Thanks for the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, appreciate it.
Bye.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I have one brief thing to read, and then we're going to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. President Donald Trump couldn't resist talking about the House impeachment inquiry Tuesday as he continued the tradition of pardoning a Thanksgiving turkey, generating holiday season laughter at the expense of the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, who was his chief antagonist in Congress. Trump joked that the pair of North Carolina-bred turkeys he was about to pardon had been raised to remain calm under any condition, a trait that he said will be very important because they've been subpoenaed to appear in Adam Schiff's basement Thursday. Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Tell them you got a road trip planned tomorrow, and you need to have that car in tip-top shape. They'll top off your fluids. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They'll make sure your belt is tight, and they will make sure that your alternator is alternating. It is the way that they work at the Quick Lane. They specialize in all types of service, alignment, body shop, big truck shop, little car shop. You name it, they got take care of it. And if there's anything wrong with your dilemma, your vehicle has a dilemma and you're ready for a new one, Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln, brand new on the lot, plus thousands of pre-owned vehicles in perfect condition. SunburyMotors.com. They would just love to have a chit-chat with you about the opportunities for you to save a ton of money and enjoy some savings at the Sunbury Motor Company. We will be right back. We're enjoying an Open Phones Friday, 1-800-795.
Except this is Wednesday. You should repeat the fact that it's like a Friday, but it's actually Wednesday.
What he said. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got some callers standing by. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565, or do as Than has done, email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
He says, evolution is a science. Creationism is, on the other hand, religion. What a fact-based study. The other, a personal one, I think what he means is one is a fact-based study, the other a personal belief. Science and beliefs are two different things. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. That takes Stan's us to opinion. The phone lines. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
And one thing I'm thankful for is our Creator gave us free will to believe what we want to believe, whether we believe in Him or not. And that's our free will, and that country of ours was built on that. So I just wanted to say that, and happy Thanksgiving. And I think evolution is a theory, not a fact. So that's about all I have to say for that. You know what happens if you're gray, if you're not black or white, he'll spew you right out.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
There you go.
All right, noted. Thank you so much, okay. Al. Appreciate
happy
the call.
Happy Thanksgiving again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Next is Paul from Northumberland. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark.
Why don't we just take the dictionary and say that it is not to be used because it's one man's opinion of what a meaning is to a word?
Oh, that's an interesting thing. Well, I think they have a committee doing dictionaries. It's not one person.
Even though Merriam-Webster gets credit for being alone, he's had help.
The whole thing in a nutshell is when a man opens his mouth and he says a word, everybody gets 63,000 different meanings to it. One word can mean have 15 different destructions. Take for instance the word two. If I say two, am I talking about T-O, T-O-O-O, or T-W-O?
You added a couple extra O's there, Paul. It's yeah. T-O-O, not T-O-O-O. T-W-O,
well,
not T-W-O-O.
Well, see, now that's my impression.
Well, you're entitled to it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
But, we're not going to take it away from you here.
Well, I know, but your whole complex of your conversations is based on meaning. Word and meaning. And I think I told you a long time ago that life has no meaning, because if it did, you would have an answer if somebody would say, what is the meaning of life?
Yeah, right, then you'd have the answer, which is nothing.
That's right, you would have
it
an answer.
No meaning, okay.
Well, that sounds like a very depressing philosophy, with all due respect, Paul.
Well, not necessarily, because people today think only of the evil. Right now, they're talking about impeaching the president rather than what the country can do. In other words, we could be making a monorail that would go from coast to coast, that would be a project that, the government could intervene, and they could maybe even subsidize it.
But, all right, got you, brother.
Thank you very much, and I'm going to throw out my dictionary as soon as I get home.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, say some of the pages, because you may have to look up the words that, people speak about about anything.
That's funny.
All right.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great Thanksgiving, Paul. Appreciate that. Bobby D., you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving. One thing I wanted to say about the... you know, the students in the area, whether it be Bucknell or Susquehanna or Bloomsburg, and the universities having these speakers come in from different places, some of them, they open up to the public. So over the years, I've taken time to go and listen. So it, they not only benefit the students, but also inform the public, and basically it keeps me up on the times, too, just by taking the time to go to hear some of these speakers.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. We talk to Professor O'Reilly about a couple times a month anymore about the great speakers that are coming, and his whole point is that he doesn't want just students or faculty there. He wants the whole community to participate. He wants everybody to be sort of within this discussion range, and then to call our talk show or to participate in discussions on campus and make sure that everybody's participating in that. So you're right. They are free and open to the public. If there's one next Thursday night that everybody can go to. Lance, thank you so much for calling in from Herndon, Pennsylvania. You are on the mark.
Okay. Fine job this morning as usual. My, the old thing about what goes around comes around. Now, some time ago, you had an individual on who I don't know if it was just a resident of Lewisburg or a professor at Bucknell, but he was a conservative, and they said, what was it like, you know, to be a conservative?
Oh, that's Alf.
What was that?
Alf Sievers. He's a professor of humanities, English, teaching, literature, and so on.
Yeah. And what he said was quite telling, that he felt like the village communist in 1955.
Oh, okay.
All right?
I don't remember that,
now,
but I guess you do.
Yeah. Well, that really stuck out, because back then, the people on the right were doing the same thing to the folks on the left as the left is doing to the right today. And neither of it is right.
Yep.
Well, he feels like the village communist because he has a long gray beard and long hair, and he wears a denim shirt and denim pants. So,
and he calls everybody comrade?
No, he calls himself Lance. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. No.
No, he...
And also, there, did you watch that video I gave you?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot all about it. I got to write myself a note. I'm a dummy. Yes, I did not. Or, no, I did not. Yes, you're right. I did not.
Anyway, the sequence in there where they actually show a dilation and evacuation abortion in real time, I think it takes about 90 seconds. And the agony that that child is in while that's happening is incredible. I mean, you just can't say it's a formless glob of parasitic protoplasm. And now, today, we think about that poor little kid they pulled off of life support and died because it was abused. Well, I'm sure the abuse that that child endured was no more or no less than what, how many hundred thousand children go through every single year.
All right, we got you. Okay. Yeah, I will watch that. I am remiss. It's in the stack right by the recliner. It's ready to pop in the thingamabob. So.
Doesn't sound like Thanksgiving viewing to me.
Well, it'll be Black Friday. That's when we'll watch it. All right, thank you so much,
Lance. And that was quick clear for you. And a friend of mine, he always said it was really good to go to watch, see, and hear persons who are totally opposed to what you are for, if only to redouble your efforts to knock them off their perch because of, well, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, make sure that you're ready with your good argument.
Right.
What is it? Okay. Keep your enemies close, but or your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Right.
Yeah, like Abraham Lincoln said when he was doing a case, you know, before the judge, that he spent about 10% of the time figuring out what he was going to say, and the other 90 figuring out what the other side was going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes good sense. Yeah, they say never ask a question if you don't know the answer.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too, brother. You too. Thank you. Enjoy. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week on the radio. Dale, stand by. Listeners, dial us up. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. We'll have about 7 minutes left of Open Phones Friday on this wonderful Wednesday morning. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dale's waiting. We'll take more comers on the news line. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-WKOK. Traffic-wise, we're doing okay around here. There's a couple of slow spots you could find if you really looked, but no big delays. Probably the slowest delay is about a block wait to get to the 3rd Street light on Duke Street, 147 southbound in Northumberland. But everybody else, doing okay. Dale, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the fake meat industry. I don't know.
The fake meat industry?
Yeah, I guess they're selling fake burgers and, you know, I don't know. They're replacing all of our meat.
You mean plant-based stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, fake meat.
Okay.
Fake meat. It's real. Burger is just fake meat.
Well, it's not meat. It's fake. It's imitation meat, I think, is what you're searching for.
Plant-based, delicious food.
I just want to say, you know, our media is saying our economy is, you know, sky high. Yeah, the reality is that they're deep exporting all of our real meats, you know, decimating all of our farms and all of our manufacturing, and then they're feeding us fake meat. Okay, so the U.S. is buying, you know, all of the real meats from our farmers and making profits selling it, you know, overseas and feeding us fake meat. So next year when we have turkey,
who's buying up all the meat? Who's buying up all the meat?
Well, our country is a corporation, so, you know, we're just telling, you know, the farmers, you know, they're having a hard time with the pricing of the meat, because the fake meats are being replaced, okay?
Well, I see the Bar Association's hand in this, don't you?
No, I'm just saying, next year when we have fake turkeys, and the media keeps saying our economy's booming, and then the Fed's out of firepower. The firepower to keep our economy going is low interest rates. So right now, even if they lowered it 5 points or even a quarter of a point, they're out of firepower. It's totally done. So I just wanted to tell people, when you're eating fake turkeys next year and they keep telling you our economy's doing great, our economy's doing great.
I'm not going to eat any fake turkey.
I can't help it. Wow. I mean, the media is really pushing this. But the Fed,
I'm lost.
They can lower 5 points next month.
Yep.
And all the takers are going to realize there's nothing to take.
And the Bar Association will be all over that,
so
like a cheap suit.
Thanksgiving is all about giving. So I just want to tell people, you know, even time.
Thank you.
Time.
Thank you, Dale, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Eat a real turkey, buddy.
Later.
We're having a tofu turkey at my house.
No, that's un-American. Have a real turkey.
I'm going to.
And I would not,
actually,
if I were the president, I wouldn't have pardoned those turkeys. They looked good.
Yeah, 40-some pounds. That's a big bird.
That's a big bird. And, of course, you have a lot of people to feed at the White House.
Bread and butter got pardoned. But they go to a farm where they get coddled and researched. And
But we hear a lot about the birds that got pardoned. But what about the ones they actually eat?
Right.
They didn't get any pardon.
No, they didn't.
They
not.
Had their heads cut off and they had their feathers plucked out, and somebody stuffed them with stuffing and took their insides out.
It's not pretty.
No, it's not. And we always talk about the birds that got pardoned, but what about the ones that
didn't? What about
the
millions that will be consumed? Well, this is.
You feel bad about that? I don't.
No. Well, they're farm raised. They're not wild. It's not like it's hurting the environment.
Although, one of the movies I mentioned, the Mr. Rogers movie I saw, where Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers.
Great. Everybody should see it.
He was a vegetarian. And the reporter asked him why. He said he couldn't bear to eat anything that had a mother.
Oh, dear. Well, plants have a...
No, they don't.
Pistil and a stamen.
Well, that's not the same thing as
not
a mother
the same
and a father.
Thing as a mother.
But, you know, I don't think this fake meat stuff is going to go very far. People like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat that? No, you're an environmentalist.
No, I do not. They say it is much friendlier on the environment. But at this point, it costs as much to buy in the store. You know, Burger King and McDonald's are saying it's costing them as much to make it at this point in the early going. But I think if it tastes as good, and I haven't had one, but, you know.
How could it possibly taste as good as a steak?
Is there? It's going to take a long time for soy to congeal in such a fashion that it's better than a Delmonico cooked over a long period of time.
Well, don't you think
smoker.
A certain amount of red meat? I mean, gosh, don't you remember when we were younger, the training tables, the athletes, they ate good steaks and
good
meat.
Good red meats, yep.
What's wrong with good red meat?
I don't know.
Does it clog your arteries?
You're going to have turkey tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I think we're having ham at our house.
Ham? What's the matter with you?
Well, we're not...
You didn't pardon that pig.
Big, big, big poultry eaters. And I'll get a turkey leg when we go to my mom's.
Well, I would think turkeys would be better for you.
Than ham?
Well, I don't know about ham, but better for you than other forms of meat you could eat.
It's modern pork.
Anyhow, it's tradition. And no matter whether or not you like it, it's tradition. So don't you have any respect for tradition?
Okay, are you sitting down?
I am.
Duke and King Streets are now open. The detours have been lifted.
Oh, can we get an amen?
You got it?
And they kept their word at PennDOT, like they always do. They said they'd have it open by Thanksgiving, and they do.
Well, I talked to some of the fellas yesterday. They said by noon. Well, by 10 a.m. is definitely by noon.
By noon, right.
So
Ted Deptula will probably have an extra portion of mashed potatoes tomorrow to celebrate.
Okay. So from PennDOT... update, Duke and King Streets are now open. Detours have been listed. Actually, they don't say anything about Front Street, so I hope that Front Street's open, too. Oh, we got a listener. Send us a note.
Okay.
Don't say that name out loud. Oh, good. It's Larry.
This is from our friend Larry G. from Texas. He says, a quick note to say I am thankful for all the things you do to keep everyone informed. I may be 1,700 miles away, but you all help me feel like I'm back home in PA. I use what you share to make life better for family, friends, and clients still residing in the Keystone State. Have a great Thanksgiving. And you too, Larry.
Well, thank you, Larry. Very, very much appreciated. Super glad to hear from you and everybody else today. Everybody, please enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'll see you next Thursday. This is WDKO, okay, Sunbury.